Matthew 7:16 says, "By their fruits you will know them." We know that Ravi Zacharias was extremely evil and rotten in character, but in Protestantism he bore abundant, quote, fruit. He led countless people to follow those sects and to believe there was hope and life in those sects. He was a magnet for the false gospel of Protestantism. So what should that tell you about Protestantism?
As many of you know, Ravi was a very dear friend and a mentor. He touched my life so profoundly, and I know that he has touched so many of you watching right now.
And after that introduction, it was like I couldn't put the books and the lectures down. I listened to him all the time. I memorized many of his lectures. All I ever wanted to do in undergrad, once I got introduced to apologetics, was meet Ravi Zacharias. My friends will tell you, like, I listened to him all the time.
Millions of people probably would say that Ravi Zacharias played a huge part in them giving their lives to Christ.
In conjunction with other facts and the teaching of Scripture, Zacharias's profound success in drawing people to Protestantism should tell you that getting people to follow Protestantism and accept faith alone is not a good fruit. It's not the work of Jesus, but actually the work of the devil. It's a deception, just like Ravi Zacharias's public persona was. The devil used Zacharias, as he uses so many false teachers, as a counterfeit preacher who misdirected people to a counterfeit gospel and a counterfeit message. And as shocked as multitudes of Protestants have been about Zacharias's real character, they are going to be even more shocked when they die and realize that they weren't even Christian, unless they convert to the true traditional Catholic faith first. Note, we are not making the argument that the scandal of one man, or even a number of men, in a particular religion refutes that religion. That would be absurd, for there are proponents of every religion who do evil things. Rather, Zacharias was not just some random adherent of Protestantism. He was one of the most successful and admired Protestant teachers in history. He accomplished extraordinary things for Protestantism. When the most prolific members of a particular religion are utterly wicked, as Zacharias was, that, in conjunction with other facts, should give you an indication about the person's spiritual work, which was so closely associated with his life, namely that it was also rotten and not of God.
In fact, his public ministry was helping to pay for his private pimpery. He's creating his own prostitution system through using massage therapists as his targeted victims.
More to the point, the reactions to Zacharias's death when it occurred in 2020 and then the later reactions to revelations about his abominable life point directly to the falsity and inconsistency of Protestant salvation doctrine. Based on the false gospel of faith alone, promoted by Zacharias and countless others, after Ravi died, many of his friends, supporters, and quote converts proclaimed that he was saved.
Ravi Zacharias is that he had endorsements from Christian leaders around the globe who not only said that they thought he was an effective book writer speaker, but that they thought he was a great man.
As many of you know, Ravi was a very dear friend and a mentor. Though our hearts hurt tonight, we know because of our hope in Christ, he is with Jesus and we will see him again.
When we stopped, I thought Nabil was going to share his thoughts on what Ravi was saying. Instead, after pausing for a few moments, Nabil said, "That guy is the perfect speaker. That is exactly how you communicate with someone." I thought it was funny that Nabil, who was still a Muslim, was calling a Christian the perfect speaker. It's pretty cool that several years later, they ended up working together, and that now, that former Muslim and that former atheist are basking in the glory of the risen Lord who called them out of Islam and atheism, called them to preach around the world, called them to leave an apologetics legacy, and then called them home.
Ravi Zacharias got his promotion.
Ravi Zacharias is now with the Lord. Obviously, leaves behind a grieving family.
Obviously, they were wrong, and this should tell them that their whole understanding of salvation is wrong. He was not a true Christian, and he was horribly wicked. Wicked people don't get to heaven, as the New Testament teaches. In fact, despite all of his horrible wickedness, in his last message, Zacharias himself proclaimed that he would not be lost. His presumption about faith alone convinced him that despite his horrible life and mortal sins, he would not be barred from heaven. But he was deceived, just like the many who followed him.
And what it is that Christ does for you and me, he takes his goodness to overcome our unworthiness and gives it to us.
He tweeted this out. This is his last tweet. The story of the gospel is the story of eternal life. My life is unique and will endure eternally in God's presence. I will never be no more. I'll never be lost because I will be with the one who saves me.
The Bible repeatedly warns even true believers, and Ravi was not even a true believer, that if they commit certain sins, such as adultery, fornication, etc., they will not be saved. That destroys the idea of faith alone. We cover these matters in detail in our videos. Also, many Protestants get confused. When someone correctly points out that faith alone is false, as the New Testament shows over and over again, the Protestant often responds by accusing that person of denying the necessity of God's grace or holding that one can save himself. But they don't get it. No one can merit the grace itself of forgiveness or justification. In fact, one cannot do anything at all that moves one towards salvation without God's grace. To be transferred from the unjustified state to the justified state, to be forgiven grave sins, is not man's work. It's the work of Jesus Christ on the cross applied to the person. That's what the Bible teaches in Ephesians 2 and Romans 4. But that is distinct from how one takes possession of that gift and how one maintains it. To maintain the grace of God requires faith and obedience, as the entire New Testament teaches. Also, the statement in Ephesians 2:8 that by grace you have been saved through the faith refers to a person's reception of first justification in water baptism. We prove that in our video on Ephesians, which shows how the passage is directly parallel to Colossians 2:12 about regeneration through baptism. The regenerating act of God in baptism, which incorporates one into Christ and forgives all of a person's sins, is not man's work, but that does not mean that obedience and works are not required to maintain that grace and that new state to which God has raised man. Obedience, along with, of course, faith, is required to maintain and increase justification, as Ephesians, Romans, James, and the whole New Testament teaches. Now, there are some Protestants who actually believe that faith alone would save even a serial adulterer and wicked abomination like Ravi Zacharias, who gave no sign of repentance or conversion.
Listen to me. If you're saved, you can sin on an ongoing basis and repeatedly. There are people who do it.
The moment you're justified, all your sin, past, yes, and all the sins you will ever commit are totally forgiven. They're totally erased.
So the question is, can a person be saved by the grace of God, born again, new creation in Christ Jesus, and slip back into sin and still go to heaven? Yes, you can.
But that notion is, of course, completely contrary to the Bible's teaching. The New Testament declares that the unrighteous will not get to heaven, that adulterers, fornicators, etc. will not be saved, 1 Corinthians 6, that one must be pure in heart to see God, Matthew 5:8. That people are saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, 2 Thessalonians 2:13, that people are condemned on the basis of their works, 2 Corinthians 5, Matthew 16, Revelation 20, that without holiness no one shall see the Lord, Hebrews 12:14, and much more. So faced with all of that evidence, other Protestants take a different, but still false, approach to people like Ravi. They try to reconcile the false gospel of faith alone with the aforementioned biblical data by saying that, well, even though people are saved by faith alone, true believers would not do what Ravi Zacharias did. True believers will give evidence of true faith by a good life and good works, and therefore Ravi Zacharias, even though we thought he was one of the greatest representatives of our Protestant faith for decades, must not have ever truly believed to begin with.
Is Ravi a Christian? No. I can't comprehend how to reconcile that with any kind of genuine faith in Christ. Ravi is now facing the consequences of his double life. Ravi, because of you, I think you don't have salvation because of you.
But this just points to the falsity and inconsistency of their position. For the Bible doesn't teach that if people commit such sins, they necessarily never believed to begin with. That's not what Jesus is saying in Matthew 7, by the way. No, the Bible specifically warns those who are light in the Lord, Ephesians 5, the sons of God, Galatians 3-5, that if they commit those sins, they won't be saved. The Bible repeatedly warns true believers about the possibility of losing salvation through disobedience or apostasy. That destroys their whole position. The fact that true believers can fall into mortal sins that will bar them from heaven is why Jesus instituted confession to priests as a means to be restored to the state of justification, see John 20:23, an institution of Jesus that Protestants reject. Other Protestants aren't sure, one way or another, if Ravi Zacharias ever believed to begin with.
If the facts in the report are accurate, was this man even a believer? Because there's so many people, I just can't possibly believe that he couldn't be, given the things that he said. And yet, how do you go from standing in front of a whole group of people and saying X. And before you got there, you've already set up the parameters to meet with someone after you're done to do the things that he was supposed to be doing. If he was a false convert.
So even though for decades millions considered Ravi Zacharias to be an extraordinary Protestant believer, who, according to them, successfully preached the quote true gospel for a long time, they now aren't sure if he ever believed to begin with. Their whole doctrine is false and made up. Also, ask them how often a true believer can fall into the mortal sins which the Bible says destroy the state of justification, such as adultery, fornication, drunkenness, etc. Looking at pornography would be another mortal sin that destroys or is incompatible with the state of justification. Could a person commit the sin once a week, once a month, once a year? At what point, according to them, does one conclude that such a person never truly believed to begin with? When you start to think about that, you should see that their whole doctrine is nonsense. In response to such questions, most of them would admit that a person could commit mortal sins for periods of time and be a, quote, true believer who is assured of salvation.
Our sins never cancel out our salvation because we live in grace.
That's basically the same as holding that Ravi Zacharias could have been a true believer and saved despite all of his mortal sins. No matter how you slice it, their position is opposed to the Bible's clear teaching that one such mortal sin is incompatible with the state of justification. Further, their own statements and contradictions on someone like Ravi refute the very, quote, assurance that they claim their position gives them. Hence, this Protestant, who previously stated that Ravi Zacharias was not a Christian, goes on to contradict himself by questioning whether Ravi ever believed.
He is now dealing with the question we have. Did Jesus ever know him?
This is another example of how people who adhere to false, man-made, and unbiblical doctrines contradict themselves on their core claims.